Log Talk Radio.
I guess everything is in order and under control, brother. That's what I'm hearing, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm hearing, too. Everything is just in our beautiful Shangri-La.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's what I'm hearing. Don, let me just say, I know we got, we're supposed to have a couple guests right at the top. I'm sorry that you weren't able to prevail in running for the position of Secretary of the NAACP under the auspices of the new regime, but man, I was kind of surprised at the way they tried to kind of cut your throat there on Saturday. But I guess we're going to talk about it. Has Mr. Nelson joined us yet?
We have online with us live now, Ms. Classy Dudley from the Duluth NAACP, and we also have Mr. Jamar Nelson live on the phone line with us right now.
All right, why don't we get Studley from Duluth, because we had invited her last week, and it's always refreshing, and we can probably be updated on what the situation is with Claudia Washington, who was at the meeting Saturday. I guess, I don't know, like, did they fly him in or maybe use some of that integration money up there in Duluth? But anyways, Michelle, I don't want to introduce both our guests, and let's move into it. By the way, are we going hour and a half tonight?
Hour and a half.
All right then. The phone lines will be open. But Mr. Allen, go right ahead and introduce this very brilliant young African-American future leader. Oh, no, heck, she's
okay.
Already a leader. Go ahead.
She's already a leader. We have a live on the air with us tonight, Ms. Classy Dudley from Duluth, and she's with the Duluth branch of the NAACP. And we also have on the line with us, live, both of these people, Mr. Jamar Nelson. Hello and welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right.
So I want to start with Classy Dudley here. So you still have not received...
Don, you're getting a lot of static. I'm hearing a lot of static for you now. Mr.
Yes,
Nelson
yes.
was real clear. Maybe we can clean that up. But go ahead.
That,
we don't want to miss any of this.
Okay. Ms. Dudley, you still have not received the notice as state communication chair of the NAACP of the Minnesota, or Duluth branch NAACP. And let me rephrase this. The communication chair, a notice from WC Georgia regarding this past election. Have you?
No, I have not. I have not received anything from WC since all the last election in here in Duluth.
Okay.
I'm not sure why. I did try to reach out to him. I haven't got a response yet, though.
He is not the state conference president, is not returning your calls, and you're a member of his cabinet? Is that right?
Yes, and I have not
been informed. What is that all about?
That
I'm not understanding.
The cabinet has been changed, I have not been informed that the cabinet has been changed or anything, but I am, you know, still working. We're working on circulating a black-owned newspaper for the state of Minnesota and hopefully getting it out rolling in North Dakota as well. But since that, I have not heard anything back from him.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's
have you been in any kind of contact with the let me ask this, who is now the president of record of the Duluth NAACP?
Excuse me, can you repeat that question?
who is the president of record of the Duluth NAACP?
The current presiding president is Claudia Washington. Our secretary is Sharon Witherspoon. And I think we have a vice president, which is Stefan Witherspoon and Carl Crawford. That's first and second vice.
Who is the treasurer of the branch? Is that Mr. Washington, too? Does he hold both positions?
No, our treasurer is Julia Chang.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right, then. I need to ask you a specific question as regards to you being with us last week. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you discovered over the last decade about the integration money that was being allocated to the NAACP to help with and design the integration program for a very troubled school system?
Okay,
was
that
clear last week that Mr. Washington and his cabinet have not issued a report for a number of years on that money? And is that money in the bank account of the NAACP of Duluth, or what's the story here?
Well, recently I have discovered that the NAACP didn't file for the last 3 years. I found that out and the Las Vegas convention, which I attended, when I approached Reverend Ford, I asked him why, if we are in compliance, if we are not in compliance, because I knew Mr. Washington was going to attend the Las Vegas convention as a delegate. And I questioned how could he be a delegate if our branch is not in complete compliance. And which Mr. Ford responded that Claudia Washington is going to be bringing the last 3 years of reports with him to Las Vegas and hand it to Reverend Ford right there and then we'll be all up to date. Which, sounded good, but when I realized the logistics of it, that we were accepting money from the last 5-10 years from various donors, we were reporting to it, and we were reporting from it, from our local chapter, which, as we all know here, that we're supposed to be reporting our annual budget, our annual income, and donating some of that money back to our national chapter, which I'm not sure. And I found, too, that if we do not comply to that or do not have a Freedom Fund banquet, which to the national, too, that we have to pay a larger fine to the national, which we haven't been doing. So I was curious to see if we were putting all of that money that we owed the national branch in the last years and sending that to them for the last 3 years, all in the Las Vegas convention, which I have not received that information yet, but I have requested it. And
when has the Duluth branch had a meeting in which there was a quorum? I mean, let's say this year alone, 2015. We're now into to May. Has the branch had a meeting in which you have been in attendance where there was an actual quorum?
Well, when I'm at the meeting, there's a little bit of a disruptance, just because the last meeting we had that I attended, Claudia Washington was trying to appoint a certain member to our education chair, which we already have somebody to our education chair, which the executive committee had approved. And by our bylaws and our constitution, Claudia Washington just can't appoint someone. He recommends somebody to the executive committee, which he was not trying to do. He was trying to appoint them and get rid of the current person, because the current person was a supporter of mine and has gone on the public media and on the record saying so. And I think Claudia Washington did not agree with that and tried to get rid of him. All that stands that I'm aware, he is still the education chair, but I know he doesn't want to stay much longer under these circumstances, especially since we are at odds with our school and our school board right now. We've had, I don't know if you heard the last incident with our school, we had a kid who took a Snapchat of another kid and drew a noose around him and said, "You got to hang them all," and was sending it to his friends and all that. And I know the school was very hesitant of doing something until we really pushed them. And we've had African-American teachers fired for wrongdoing that was false. We've had our superintendent, who was African-American, fired when that was unjust as well. And so the NAACP, our members took an active stance against our school board, but we were still receiving funds from them. In the last 3 years, we received over $55,000, and I have that documentation. And
wow.
Yeah, just recently we voted to not accept any money from them, but I can't account for if that is truly in effect to the day or not. But I will
when is the last time that the branch has actually had an audit? We asked this question last week. Had an audit mm-hmm. by an independent outside auditor. Have they had one in the last 8, 9, 10 years?
No. To my knowledge, we've never had an audit
in
our branch. Yes.
Okay.
An independent
All right.
audit.
All right.
Let me make that clear. An independent audit, I cannot recall ever having in our local branch. And we have our secretary on record saying that we hadn't had an election in over 15 years, and as we all know, the time we're supposed to be having our elections every 2 years, so.
And that secretary was Ms. Witherspoon, who has been a longtime companion of Mr. Washington. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is correct.
All right, let me turn you back to Mr. Allen. I've completed my inquiry, but I want to thank you, and we're certainly going to be having you back on a couple times doing the summary, if you will. We're just puzzled, Mr. Allen, aren't we, about what's happened to all this money, education and integration money up there in Duluth. Let me ask one other question. When the black superintendent was fired in Duluth, I remember the controversy and et cetera. Did Mr. Washington make any public statements? Did he make any recommendations to the branch to take possibly any kind of action? Did he seek authorization from the national to possibly join in any kind of lawsuit in
absolutely
the interest of the African-American
not.
Community?
Yeah, absolutely not.
I didn't quite... oh.
We have him on record, too, saying that he declined any comments, any action because our superintendent, Ivy Foster, asked him not to take any action, which I do understand and respect. But at the same time, them firing Ivy Foster the way that they did opened the door for them to do so much more to our African-American educators here in Duluth.
Wow. Thank you. Mr. Allen, go right ahead.
I just wanted to ask, and clarify real quick here. So you said there's a picture sort of circulating in the Duluth Public Schools with a picture of a black student with a noose around him?
Yes, there was a picture. A kid took a Snapchat. The NAACP did take some action in that, but I can't speak to whether or not the kid actually got suspended or there was any kind of punishment done within the school.
Wow. That's very serious.
Well, who has been the chief liaison to the school district and the NAACP on this particular matter so that maybe at some point the membership can be informed on what happened to this young man and other young men? Because I understand that, you know, you have a small neo-Nazi cell up there in Duluth. Is it Mr. Washington? Is he the point person or is it your education chair?
Well, we would like it to be our education chair, but Mr. Washington did take over on this issue, and we all see where that went. It was interesting. There was, I will say, there's Jason Johnson. He was the editor for our Duluth News Tribune. He did post some things about how another school was handling a situation similar to what we're doing, and I did take that in account, and he's working with the African-American men's group, so I kind of like how they're taking a proactive way for this. And I want to also point out, too, that there was her name is Leanne. She came to the booth. She's from Key Wharton, and her kids are suffering and going through a similar situation with their school district. Their school district is very, very far right, I should say, and especially in the way they're treating her kids. And she did come to Duluth, and she did come to our Duluth NAACP, which Claudia Washington, I think, was like one of the only members who showed up to that meeting because no one else was notified. But,
that kind of sounds like how Mr. Washington about 9 years ago, handled a discrimination matter in Brainerd, Minnesota. which an African-American woman and her husband actually lost their business because of the lack of action by Mr. Washington. In fact, Mr. Allen, that woman in question, who now resides in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, has been on our program a couple times in the last year and a half. Wow! I tell you that Claudia, he is El Daco, if you will, you know, Papa Doc. He's going to be president for life, isn't he?
Well, let's hope not. I do want to go to the national convention this year. I know there was a couple other stories similar to the one that I had facing my election, as well as after the election. And I've been reaching out to other branches, like the Oklahoma branch has had the same problem. There's a couple branches in Texas, kind of a similar issue. And a bunch of branches in Colorado and Tennessee have all reached out to me as well. And I want us all to kind of get together at the national convention in Philly and kind of approach our leaders there and ask them, hey, like, what actions are we taking? What are we going to do to kind of provide some refuge for the people that are suffering from this election fraud scam?
Yes, isn't that amazing? You know, it's puzzling because the man that is always in the middle of this, directing from his catbird seat at the national office, is the same man that you mentioned his name earlier, the Reverend, the Right Reverend Gail Ford. Man, we were dealing with him way back here in 2001 when he took thousands and thousands of dollars in a satchel bag and took it back. But anyways, that'll be for later on in tonight's program. Mr. Allen, you have anything? And if not, we can certainly thank our – go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate Clancy calling and being so prompt on that and reminding me that you were to call. And I'm glad you called, and thank you. And we'll keep in touch.
Thank you.
Don't forget to be checking up on Facebook and looking at the post, because I'm leaving a detailed history of what's going on. I know you know some of it. So your comments are greatly appreciated. All right?
And
thank you
again.
I sure will.
Thank you. All right.
No
take
touch.
Care. Take care. All right.
Okay.
All right.
And now we have Mr. Edwards, Mr. Jamar News Talk Radio Nelson, Ask the Liberal, live on the air with us right now, who kind of went up and down, the new president of the NAACP. He's back on the radio, and for just reasons, I would say. Welcome, Mr. Nelson.
Well, go ahead. You've introduced him. Let's get it out. I saw Mr. Nelson at the Dog and Pony Show on Saturday, and I thought he made a eloquent presentation, but I knew he didn't stand a chance. But go ahead.
You and me both. It was rigged from the beginning. You know what's so discouraging is the fact that no one realizes that this lady is pulling the wool over our eyes. You know, the fact that this woman has continued to be divisive and no one tends to care. You know, you are insulting community leaders. Those constituents were in that very room. Some of them were not in that room. You're asking them to be a leader of them, and yet you want to continue to insult these leaders. You know, for Mrs. Levy Powell to be an attorney, it strikes me odd that she doesn't believe in due process.
Well, she believes in due process for herself.
Yeah, for herself, of course.
Let me ask you a question, Jamar.
Yes,
where
sir.
Was the black community on Saturday, May 2nd?
I think she made sure they didn't show up. She brought a lot of new men. And here's the thing. I'm not opposed to new membership, because as a president, that's what you want to do. You want to grow the membership. But I think that what was odd is that she's making this the multicultural NAACP. And I think at a risk of alienating the blacks that are in the neighborhood, she purposely wants to infuse Black Lives Matter with the NAACP. These are two totally different entities.
I agree with 100% with what you're saying and everything, but I've seen pictures of the Mall of America with thousands and thousands of people rallying behind her for this rally. I've seen her marching in South Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, downtown, St. Paul, with at least 50, 60, 70 people, maybe even more than that, 100 or so. Where were those people Saturday, May 2nd?
Well, she didn't want the black faces showing up. Those are the important faces. Those are the faces that matter. So if you get them to show up, and then somebody like me gets in their ear, meeting and greeting and telling them, trying to show them the real her, that defeats their purpose. So she definitely doesn't want to show, have the real important faces that matters. I mean, let's be honest. There were so many new faces, let's just be honest. They're not black faces, white folks, that it was so unbelievable. And be quite honest with you, there were a lot of constituents there that were so upset that she had brought all of these folks with her to simply vote her in as president. And it's even more odd that the acting president, what do you call him, W.C., whomever he is.
No. He's not the acting president. He is the state conference president. He was designated to preside over the meeting. He is also the president of the Rochester NAACP. There was no acting president. We want to be absolutely clear and transparent for our listening audience across the country and across the world. Yeah, W.C. Jordan was designated by Reverend Ford, by his good friend Reverend Ford, to preside over this along with others such as Jeffrey Martin, who's an assistant city attorney out of St. Paul. They had some other individuals there. But W.C. Jordan was designated to do that. He presided over the last election, the special election on December 13th, 2013.
That explains a lot. It was also odd that I found that the president from the Duluth chapter was trying to discourage me from running. He told me as a new member I shouldn't try to ascend straight to the top. So I said to him, well, you know, with all due respect, isn't that what Ms. Levy Pounds is doing? Ms. Levy Pounds has never heard a cabinet position. Isn't that what she's doing, trying to ascend straight to the top? Mm. And he had no reply. So to me, as you hit the nail on the head, this was a dog and pony show. But to me, it was so ridiculous that it's unbelievable. But I know, just like myself and you guys, we're going to continue to hold their feet to the fire, which ticks them off. You know what even bothers me now? Is the fact that you criticize the new president, now they're saying you're being sexist, that you're bashing a woman. So now when you're critical of Nakia Pounds, you're going to be called, you're going to be demonized for being a woman basher. You know, if this woman is that thin-skinned, she definitely is in the wrong position. And I can't stand the way her team attacks for her so she doesn't have to engage with anybody. It's ridiculous,
well,
and I don't see the forest for the trees.
Again, you're absolutely correct again, and I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Nelson. I was in a conversation in a thread on Facebook where, you know, I started saying some stuff, and I got telephone calls saying, well, why are you attacking? She's a black woman. She's just,
exactly.
I said, no, you're the leader of the NAACP. You're the president of the Minneapolis NAACP. But from past experiences, from what I've seen on the ground floor, if you want me to follow you, you got to give me a detailed listen of what's happened to almost $3 billion, if not $3 to $5 million, behind the African American Museum. Why don't we have a black museum? You answer that question successfully for me, we can move forward. But then I got one more before we even get there. But go ahead, I'll let you talk about some more about that, because I want to ask you about your experience with the process when you were talking to, I think you talked with Ms. Tanya Johnson, who got elected first vice president. And I'd like to know some of that conversation. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Well, again, this is a lady that when I came in, when she first arrived, said that she was not there to run for any position, that she didn't want anybody picking her or nominating her for any position. Yet and still, when her name was called, she did not decline the position. She decided to go ahead and campaign for the position. First vice president, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. She, too, was one of Ms. Levy Pound's attack dogs. When I continued to express my opinions of Ms. Levy's lack of leadership skills, then I, too, was accused of attacking a woman. As I told them, it's what's embarrassing is that you guys are going to publicly uphold this double standard. We could maliciously malign the character of the previous president, Reverend McAfee, or any other male president.
Don, we're really getting – are you moving dishes around? Man, there's deep background noise. It sounds like dishes and stuff are moving, man.
No, I'm not in the kitchen.
Maybe it's the NSA then. But I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Mr. Nelson, because I'm hearing this deep background, like sandpaper or something. But go ahead.
So so now that, you know, you're made to attack when you, they say that you're attacking a woman. And so to me, that's a ridiculous argument. And if that's what they're going to use the full, for the whole 2 years that she is residing over the NAACP, well, we are in a lot more trouble than I thought we were.
What did you, were you ultimately, or have you been, as of the, this very hour, this very minute, have you been given the numbers on what the count was?
Absolutely not. I've asked for it. They told me because I had left that I didn't need to know it. And that's exactly what Ms. Latonya Johnson said. Because I left, I didn't need to know it. It's
wow.
Just disgraceful. This is Madam President also attacked a journalist of NPR who called me and interviewed me prior to the election and after the election. She then decided to take him to task. She took him to task for interviewing me, called me a nobody. Said, asked him why did he have the audacity to even interview me? So as I said to him, I said, well, now you can see
the
real
her. Now,
this
is a woman who says that she is a woman of faith and God?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, sir. This is and for the record, this is nothing that I'm making up. This is publicly on NPR's Twitter page, her going back and forth with this journalist about interviewing someone that was running or that had potentially a running for the same position she did. So as I told him, if she doesn't control the whole conversation or the narrative, then it's going to get ugly. And this, we see, is the real Nikema Levy Pounds.
Wow. Well, I want to be sure we heard this right as for our listening audience around the country and for many who, such as Ms. Dudley and DeLue and others. When you asked what the count was, you were told that because you left, you didn't deserve to know what the count was?
The exact words, I'm sorry, I said left. The exact words was because you bailed out, you don't need to know the count. Why are you concerned with the count? Yes. Those were the exact
well,
words.
Is there anything, Mr. Allen, in the Constitution, bylaws, and the election procedure which says that one must stay through the entire process, but that if one does not, then one is denied the right to know what the final count was? Is that in the election manual?
No, that is not in the election manual at all, Mr. Edwards. But what is in the election manual and the bylaws, unit bylaws produced February 2014 for the National NAACP is that 10 members of the branch in good standing can come together and send an email or a communique to the secretary, which would be Mr. Terry Joe Fiddler, and ask them for an emergency meeting. And at that meeting, the agenda could be what was the count. And they would then have to activate within 3 working days, notify the branch members of this meeting to give that count to the people that originally requested it. And so,
well, I can't. I certainly don't want to dictate to Mr. Nelson, who was the candidate, but there is to be a coronation on Tuesday, again at North Point, with their good friend Stella West, in which she will be coronated and et cetera. I'm a little concerned as it pertains to the integrity of the process, and that is that because the numbers have not been published, which actually means they have not been certified. Now, I know that W.C. Jordan and Jeffrey Martin will maintain that they were the certifiers, if you understand what I'm saying, Mr. Nelson.
Absolutely.
But I would certainly give some thought to rounding up the number that Mr. Allen has identified, 10, if you will, and I would petition. Now, actually, Mr. Allen, you can't petition the woman you identified as the treasurer, the secretary, because she has not been sworn in. You have to go directly, Mr. Nelson, to the state conference president with
okay.
an appeal upon his declining to do anything about it, directly to the director of branches, and then to the national board and the committee
okay.
on election. Okay? You have
yes,
the right
sir.
To do that. You have a right to know what the count was. You may not have lost. How would we know? There's been no certification. There has to be a certification process. Mr. Allen, you're over in Studio A. You're looking at the document. There has
yes, sir.
To be a word in there that talks about that the numbers must be duly certified and attested
yes,
to.
Sir.
Well, yes, certainly. Hey. Now, you know, Mr. Nelson, the incoming president is an attorney at law, a professor of law, in fact. She understands what the right of constitutional protection is. And contrary to what she told folks, the NAACP is not a private organization. But I would certainly encourage you to, and we bring very transparent here, gentlemen. Oops, oh, we're all guys. That, I guess that's no good nowadays. But anyways, what difference does it make? But I would certainly encourage, in the absence of and the refusal by this law professor to make sure that you at least, because the last time I looked, you put your name was placed in nomination. You were a member in good standing, though I don't tell them what may happen to you after this. And so you have certain rights as it pertains to the electoral process. Now, these are the same group of people that if in some white community, like Brooklyn Park or Brooklyn Center, some African-American who ran was told that the results of the election were not going to be posted, I mean, we would have another MOA. I mean, I'm shocked.
Right.
I thought that you had been called that evening and had been told that, of course, you had lost, you had been decisively defeated when they gave you the count.
Nope.
You are now indicating on this program that they have refused. And I'm sorry, Ms. Natanya Johnson is what? She is the election chair?
First vice president. And, again, no.
But is she the election chair? Is she the election chair?
Yes, she is.
She said she was the election chair?
Well, this is what I'm sorry. This is what they had told me, okay? Again, I don't want to use my ignorance as an excuse to not knowing all the rules and bylaws because, again, some of them was made up as we went there because it was first when I first arrived, I was also told that a new member could not run. So upon my arrival, I was meeting a lot of members that were there. I was campaigning, so to speak. And then the president of the Duluth chapter told me that a new member could not run. So I said,
"You mean Claudel Washington? Claudel Washington,
the
man who is under a state of siege. The national board was supposed to vote on his presidency in February, and Gail Ford, gentlemen, I don't think you knew about this, Don. Gail Ford did not put the matter on the agenda."
Doesn't surprise me at all. And this is again, this is the gentleman that told me that I shouldn't. You know what? And you know what? Can I say this too? What else was so disrespectful and disgusting is to have a member, an upstanding member of our community, removed, okay, with force, was to me disrespectful and divisive. And this is what people cannot see. How can a leader heal our community when you continue to uphold the divisiveness? Okay, there was no problem. So instead of getting up before the microphone and saying we will not go forward until this person is removed, how about bridging the gap of the anger that may still be existing between the community and that person? She doesn't want to do that because it doesn't suit her. She wants to keep everyone pitting against each other so that the narrative fits hers. This woman I kind of realize is all smoke and mirrors. She's not as bright as I thought she once was, although she's a professor of law. She's not as bright as I thought she was. This is all smoke and mirrors. She does a lot of people do her thinking for her. Again, she does not engage you. Well, occasionally she'll say some ghetto smart things on Twitter or Facebook to you, and then when you go back at her, she won't reply. Someone else will attack you. Okay, they call you an Uncle Tom or a nigger or something to that effect. So this woman is a scary president. This leadership is probably going to be detrimental to the NAACP, and until they see it, boy, we are in a lot of trouble. Our people in trouble. And I will continue to hold this heifer's feet to the fire because what the president doesn't realize is that she too represents me, whether she likes me or not. She too represents me. And I have every right, and I intend to use it to exercise, making sure she does the right thing. But again, with all those people that's got behind her, what's one little voice don't matter?
Oh, I'm not sure that that's correct, Mr. Nelson. I think that there is a lot of things and a lot of surprises in store. appreciate it. Anything else that you have or any questions from you, Mr. Allen?
I just want to say I appreciate you and Mr. Allen. I appreciate y'all's support. And the community is lucky to have gentlemen like you, both of you guys, that keep us informed, that keep telling us the truth. Rather, the members of the community, leaders of the community, excuse me, like it or not. If it isn't for you guys keeping it real with us, no one could see the forest for the trees. So I, on behalf of the community, want to thank you guys for that.
All right, thank you. And by the way, if you would, stay tuned in because I got a real surprise for you and many others with respect to the so-called trespassing to use the police. Because I've realized that I'm certainly in the eyes of her and her supporters and them clowns that were up there with her. Mine is not a black life that matters, and in fact, they had much discussion about the possibility of the police possibly injuring me if I would have responded in a certain way. But sometimes people don't understand how much surveillance. They're under, if you will.
That's right.
But I thank you, and I just hope
you.
That you continue to continue the battle, the struggle, and continue your activity with the NAACP of Minneapolis. All right, then.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Mr. Allen, let me do this because we're go open the phone lines. I've been hearing a lot of discussion from people. I know that. A high-ranking member of the incoming cabinet, if you will, made the statement of why didn't I just leave, if you will. And when I heard that this officer had made that statement, the first vice president, I thought, well, geez, that's what the president, incoming president, could have done at MOA, and she wouldn't have got all those people arrested and now facing trial for trespass and other kinds of issues. But, Mr. Allen, let me read something to you and to your listening audience out there, because I've been aware for quite some time the conspiratory actions that were being planned and plotted by those individuals that we saw being extremely active. On April 23rd, 2015, an administrative announcement under the auspices of the Minneapolis Police Department was made by order of the Chief of Police. It was issued by Deputy Chief Glampy under direct orders from Assistant Chief Matt Clark, who was acting under direct orders from Chief Janae Harto and was at a direct outgrowth of a lawsuit that the Minneapolis Police Department, the City of Minneapolis, had lost. Get this, Don, over the issue of trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me say this. You were standing there and present, and so were others, some, including the mayor, the husband of the mayor of our beloved city, Mr. Gary Cunningham, was at oftentimes for 35 minutes, was right there at my elbow, if you will, and so he had a chance to hear some of the conversation, but there were many, many others, if you will. And as I said before, just minutes ago, I'm very much aware of the kind of discussions that took place amongst Mr. Jordan, Mr. Martin, and others. And I'm troubled by the fact that they actually thought that they could agitate a situation in which my black life really wouldn't have mattered, but it didn't work like that. But for those that have been raising the question about, why didn't Ron just leave, whatever that's supposed to mean, what did Ron do? What kind of violent terroristic act did he carry out, and et cetera? Let me read the administrative announcement of April 23rd, 2015. It addresses, Mr. Allen, the responsibility of all on-duty Minneapolis police officers in the matter of dealing with trespassing and requiring upon request a person to exit, extricate, leave, vacate, and etc. It says the following, Mr. Allen, and people need to listen closely now. It says, if a property owner or authorized agent, that would be like Ms. West, of the owner, that would be Hennepin County, legally requests that a person be trespassed from their property, as was done, officers shall require that the property owner/agent complete and sign a trespass notice. This form can be supplied by the owner, agent, or MPD, that Minneapolis Police Department. Trespass form can also be used. In other words, the City of Minneapolis Police Department has a trespass form. Once the form is completed, it must be given to the offender, that would be Ronald A. Edwards, by the officer or the property owner slash managed agent with an explanation of the conditions. Okay? None of that was done. And, in fact, there is an egregious violation of the law and, by extension, an egregious violation of my constitutional rights to move freely in and about, quote-unquote, a specific area. And in this case, it would be the corporate boundaries of the City of Minneapolis, the boundaries of the state of Minnesota. But I just want to clarify and be as transparent as I possibly can, Mr. Allen, that none of these prerequisites, which actually this language is lifted from the state statutes, were adhered to. Now, Mr. Martin, who's an attorney, the incoming president, Kibbe Pounds, who is an attorney and a professor of law at St. Thomas University, all knew what the law said. That is the reason, Mr. Allen, because you had asked me that upon my being extricated from the facility, the county facility, by Ms. West, who made certain statements which she has no knowledge of and which she cannot support by information, that I was quite aware that they had actually discussed making sure that none of them came to the back of the room at the point in time that I would be told by Ms. West, acting not as an agent really for the NAACP, because the NAACP, you know, has no standing in that county building. That is the building of the taxpayers of Hennepin County. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons, Mr. Allen, and you asked me that question when we exited, or I exited, and later you joined me in the parking lot, why Mr. Martin, who is an assistant city attorney in St. Paul, or why W.C. Jordan, or why Claudia Washington, why Natanya Johnson, or some of those people did not come to the back of the room and represent, quote-unquote, the position of the NAACP with respect to the request to the Minneapolis Police Department to extricate me, to remove me from that site. The reason none of them did it, Mr. Allen, is because they all knew that what they were recommending was not consistent with the application of the law. Mm-hmm. There has never been, for all those that are sitting out there now biting their little fingernails, there has never been a trespass order issued against Mr. Edwards in the 15 years that the battle began with regards to the theft of over $1 million of Leave No School, Leave No Child federal education money, by a whole array of individuals, many of them associates and of the same clientele and circle, if you will. And so for anybody that wants to call the number that we always give them, they are free to ask me the specific circumstances of the role of the Reverend Gail Ford. And by the way, a shout-out to Rebecca Ford and to Shayla Lindsay Ford, the first and second wives of Reverend Ford, and the cooperation that they have certainly been carrying out with federal authorities in the continued and ongoing investigation of the theft of over $1 million, initially from the NAACP until the Leave No Child Left Behind program was shifted to a private group with significant remunerations and et cetera being paid to a whole host of NAACP officials, as well as local individuals. Now, for those that say this is slanderous and et cetera, that's what this Negro is doing, this case was filed in the Hennepin County District Court in 2004. I would suggest that for all those that want to contest what is being said, go down to the Hennepin County Courthouse and ask for the file. In fact, one of the most courageous people that was involved in that was one of our most outstanding community activists at the time, who is now deceased, Ms. Evelyn Eubanks, former school board member Carol Ann White, Pauline Thomas, if you will, who works for Legal Aid, and also Mr. Alfred Flowers. I don't know that many of you know that, but Mr. Flowers was suspended for 2 years. The others were not, if you will, but they then filed suit. That information, as I said, is contained in the lawsuit. Now, I was the only one to be expelled. In fact, I've become the sixth person in 55 years to be expelled for the NAACP, for raising the questions of criminal activity, criminal collusion, criminal intent, and et cetera. And on Saturday, as I looked up towards the front of that room, and I looked at Claudia Washington, and I looked at WC, and I looked at the president of the St. Paul branch, and et cetera, and I thought, wow, things never change. They just stay the same. So any questions that one has to have, but you understand there is now currently an investigation going on even within the Minneapolis Police Department on the reason, quote, unquote, that false information. I know that the professor understands what happens and what it means to issue a false report to the police, but there is now an examination going on why certain statements were made to the inspector of the 4th Precinct who came to the facility. The only problem is they didn't know that this man and I have known each other for many years, and in fact we are on a couple of federal committees together. In fact, we're on a federal operation that the president, the incoming president, who is also the chairperson of the advisory committee to the United States Civil Rights Commission, has been for about 5 years, that the inspector of the 4th Precinct and I have been working together for quite some time to try to deal with the problems that are confronting our community. So anyways, Mr. Allen, I felt it compelled to read the language of the administrative order that was filed and became policy of the Minneapolis Police Department 11 days before representatives of the NAACP misrepresented the law, if you will, lied. And I just wish that we had been able to require them to swear to that so we could charge them with perjury. Okay?
Oh, that would be wonderful. And Mr. Edwards, you know, I was just thinking about that because there's another piece that we need to talk about, too, the Minnesota Open Meeting Law, and which requires official meetings of public bodies to be open to the public, and official meeting is a gathering. A majority of members of public bodies for the purpose of conducting hearings, participation in deliberation, or voting upon otherwise transacting the public business. Okay, the NAACP is a public body subject to open meeting law. I'm not making this up. I'm looking at the NAACP unit handbook. And another thing that's very interesting, on page 7, under methods, the methods used to obtain the association's objectives shall be in direct action, litigation, legislation, and political action. Examples of a direct action. Direct action includes agitation, demonstrations, marches, picketing, boycott, economic sanctions, and other appropriate actions. And without the okay of the president and CEO of the NAACP and the general counsel of the NAACP, there will be no agitation, demonstration, marches, or pick boycott, or economic sanction. And now that I'm looking at this, it's on page 7 on the unit bylaws, that these ones were revised February 2013. You know, President Pounds would almost have to use exclusively Black Lives Matter to do anything, because if you relied on doing this with the NAACP, there's a lot of red tape to cross or to cut.
Well, let me say on that particular point, in that, you know, there is now a demand for everybody to step forward, step front, and play the game. The Saturday before the meeting this past Saturday, the second day of May in the year of our Lord 2015, there was a so-called training meeting, which was really a meeting to strategize for the election of the new incoming president, who no one can tell you what the vote was. We already heard Mr. Nelson indicate he was told by somebody who wasn't the election judge that because of some narrative that they put together that he does not have a right to know what the count was. But what has happened, and what happened in Rochester, was I was rather shocked and surprised to hear the kind of attack leveled against the past president, the Reverend Jerry McAfee, who became, quote-unquote, a target for W.C. Jordan and others because Reverend McAfee would not participate in a fraudulent scheme to pressure the Mayo Clinic in the area of construction and et cetera. Now, we've talked about that for over a year and a half, and, in fact, there is a report on that. It's one of the reasons that we brought on the chairman of the Council on Black Minnesotans and talked about that 2 months ago. I don't think that most of these folks realize what we were doing. There is a report that is in the hands of the office of the governor of the state of Minnesota, as well as the county attorney for Olmsted County, in which Rochester, Minnesota, is the county seat, as well as the chief counsel or general counsel for the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, one of the most prestigious health organizations in the world, if you will. And I was amazed at how they turned on Reverend McAfee and on that in that meeting two Saturdays ago, made very disparaging and hostile and outrageous remarks and comments about him. And the more than 50 Caucasians who were at this training session that Mr. Nelson is talking about, many of them showed up at the meeting Saturday, were hoorahing and pledging allegiance and et cetera. And if that's the way that things are going to work over the next 2 years, man, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be healthy. In fact, probably not going to be safe, if you will. So we see that coming. Now, let me also say this, Mr. Allen, and I told you that we were going to have to unveil the plan that we are aware that they are involved in. If these folks really think that they're going to be able to work with the Minneapolis Foundation and Sandy Vargas and people like that to, for whatever their reasons are, to help oust Chief Jhené Harto and continue a quote-unquote shameful attack on the Minneapolis Police Department, I just don't think that's going to work either, Don. And what really should happen is that these folks should just tell Chief Harto that they're out to cut her head off and that they should expand the number of city council members that they call themselves working with to try to bring about a situation in which Black Lives Matter and others would be able to call for the resignation of the chief. See, that's what they've been working for quite some time. Unfortunately, all of this is known. And do you know how some of it is known, Don, as in closing on this particular subject matter? Because there are informants, agent provocateurs, moles, inside of the inner structure of Black Lives Matter. That's the reason that they got blindsided when they thought they were going to take over our Federal Highway 94 going through St. Paul on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, if you will. You remember that situation, don't you, Don? Where they thought they were going to storm the highway and there were all of these law enforcement officers, including officers on horse patrol and et cetera. I was surprised that Mr. Martin, an assistant city attorney in St. Paul, let himself be a part of the reflection and the discussion. You know, that's not healthy for your job security. And that's sure not healthy to be able to retain your license to practice law in the state of Minnesota. But anyways, the phone lines are open, Don, because this is what it's come to. Community is divided, if you will. And, you know, people around talking about how they're going, you know, how they'll get in somebody's face. I don't know if I would rush to do that. Give that phone number out, Don. You still there? Don must be getting a text message. Somebody's probably screaming.
I told him they had to call in. The number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. The phone lines are wide open. But, which was one of the things that really scared me. And, you know, I have received several telephone calls from the new NAACP president, which I recorded and shared with you. And for someone to be a praying person and doing all this.
A person of faith.
Mm-hmm. Some of this marginalization, backstabbing, you know, name calling and belittling other black men and women, mostly men, is kind of troubling, and it's telling in itself that, you know, maybe we're going to have a bigger problem than we did with Reverend McAfee, you know?
Well, you're absolutely correct that we've already started. Let me give you another example, because they're trying to keep it quiet. In fact, they have threatened Alicia Clemens, who is a member of the NAACP and, in fact, sat with you on the executive committee of the NAACP after the election of 2013. They said that they were going to – well, here's what they did. They asked – They cut a deal with a woman who had first announced that she was going to run for first vice president, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she was approached, and she was told that there was some other thinking going on and that there was some concern about if she was trustworthy. And that seems to be quite the reflection, because I well remember in a call, I understand, that was made to you from Mexico while our friend was on vacation, that you were told that there were some issues of trust and et cetera involving you. And so what has happened is that this young African-American woman who had been told that she would be supported for first vice president, then told that she should step away and that she would then have a seat on the exec committee and become labor chair, and et cetera, has now been dumped altogether. Now, the word is that Alicia Clemens reported initially congratulating this woman. They are friends, if you will, and has now been chastised. And there is some discussion that Alicia Clemens will be sanctioned. That will be one of the first orders of business, is to sanction her, also because she had raised questions about the quote-unquote removal of yours truly, which I would not want to see her be sanctioned for standing up and saying the truth, but I do not want to be a party to these people using this kind of pettiness to trample on the constitutional rights of other people. But this is what has already happened. You know, I know that one of the things that's at play, they've had this discussion with Sandy Vargas at the Minneapolis Foundation, is that they want to position themselves to get gang fighting money. Anti-gang activity money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Minneapolis Foundation has said that they will position a number of situations, circumstances, and et cetera, so the NAACP, though the money would really go to Black Lives Matter, would be the recipient of significant money, and this is the reason that they want to bring over the Brotherhood group from St. Paul, which if that happens, I'm just afraid that you're going to have to get the body bags out. I mean, really,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just being upfront. I'm discussing what is the intel, if you will, that is already being gathered by law enforcement. So, you know, we're journalists, and we have a responsibility to lay it out. You know, anybody want to question it, you're welcome. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
Yeah, and I'm a little disturbed by this whole process they have going on, because, you know, Ms. Edwards, I played that for you. When I first got the letter in the mail that said that the NAACP was having a new election, I actually called Professor Pounds, and she happened to be on vacation on a boat in Mexico, and asked her would she run to be the NAACP president.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she would get back in touch with me when she got back in town. Of course, you know, I had to get back in touch with her, but, you know, I wanted to run for secretary, but, you know, she says, I'm going to remain neutral, but that turns out to be not to be the case, because there's too many snakes in the game. And when you get that much estrogen in one room.
Mr. Alvin, I have been told by reliable sources and moles deep inside of their operation, as soon as they became aware that you were even thinking about trying to run for secretary, a significant and very vicious smear campaign began. Yeah.
Mm.
And yet you were being told right up until 3 days before the election that you certainly would enjoy the support, but they were going to pass on as this is what my intel is telling me now. I mean, you know, Mr. Allen has not necessarily talked all about everything that went on in the conversation between he and the professor, but I'm very much aware that for almost 2 weeks or better, that there were operatives, she thought, that were undermining and making very serious allegations and charges about your character and et cetera. And that's all a part of what it was when they met to discuss calling the police on yours truly and hoping that there would be a physical confrontation and that I would be, well, I'd be put in my place. Hopefully that wouldn't be a casket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty of them. And if any of you guys, folks listening, Professor Pounds, Tanya Johnson, any of you elected Kathy Jones, number 347-426-3904. Because, you know, the best thing for you not to do in this case is to be silent. We've had a little bit too much of that. And I am a member of the NAACP in good standings, and any attempts to derail that privilege for me will be met with very harsh criticism and force and journalistic endeavors that will tag you from here to Australia. We'll just put it like that. But anyway, I'm kind of troubled behind this this whole process and that W.C. Jordan and how he decided, you know, to flip the script. And he really examined my NAACP membership card when I was there, Mr. Edwards. I mean, he really
so
wanted
he
to look
that
at
you,
it.
That, did he think that you had been a party to a forgery? Is because that
oh,
was
yeah,
part
he
of
was, he was looking really tough at it, like, okay, let me see here. Let me make sure. Aren't you this? Are you this? I'm like, dude, come on, man. I said, let's not even go down that
but
road.
But, Don, let me just tell you that was all a part of attempting to provoke you.
Uh-huh.
Because they already knew that they were going to call, you know, so much for Black Lives Matter. They already knew that they were going to call the authorities, that certain information rising to the threshold of disruptive conduct and even terrorist activities. I mean, really, I'm just telling you what is now at play. And the authorities are not very happy about this. You know, let me say what their statement is. They feel like they've been absolutely played. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Feel like they've been absolutely played.
The thing is, Mr. Edwards, Professor Fowler had the opportunity to start some community healing. You know, if you're going to be a great leader, if I was in her shoes and I had a segment of these people and I'm the only one running for president, I'm damn sure know I'm going to win in that room. And there's two people, W.C. Jordan and Jeff Martin, that want you gone. And I'm getting ready to be the new president of NAACP. I would say, hey, the buck stops here. Okay, no more of this garbage. Let's start some healing. You know, Mr. Edwards can stay and observe just like anybody else can stay and observe. We're going to start fresh. You know, she would have made a bigger impact than getting up to the microphone and announcing her getting up to the microphone saying, we can't vote because there's one person that needs to leave. You know,
here's the thing about that.
Mr. Edwards, we have a call. We have a call, by the way.
Sure, let's get the caller.
Caller, you're live on air. Can we help you?
Yes. Well, I was calling in because I'm enjoying the show and the updates on what's taking place with the NAACP. But there are some things that is taking place that actually had happened with Mr. Allen as far as the backstabbing and all that. And I wanted him to talk about that as far as his experience. And how did he come to where he is now when it comes to the NAACP? Because he has experienced some of these things. And also for Mr. Edwards, you are an icon in our community, and you have some supporters in that room, and I want to let you know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. Well, man, if I could answer the question, yeah, you're right. Every administration, for the ones I've dealt with for over the last, 2 years, 16 months, whatever, has had backstabbers. And when the first group of the NAACP got together, you know, I said, okay, here goes the NAACP rule book, the bylaws, the Constitution, let's do stuff like we're supposed to do. And all those people that sat on that board decided that I was saying the wrong thing, that they wanted to do the right, you know, wanted to do what they wanted to do.
And since they didn't get the $11.90 from the national office, they decided, because of that, you're not qualified to be on the executive committee. So therefore, I was extricated from the executive committee. Now, after that point, I said that NAACP needed a reset. Okay, I didn't feel, and I maintained this position till the day. I apologized to Maxie on Sunday on another radio show, but I told him, I said, hey, you know, we need to do something different here. I see the same stuff in a different form still going on. And so with that said, you know, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You just look at it, they want to stab you in the back, you know, and, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I guess.
Let me ask you this question. I appreciate the caller opening it up because in doing the course of the collusion and conspiracy, I mean, the Star Tribune is an example, and others were told that you had no support or respect within the community at all, just as they did that against the Reverend Jerry McAfee two Saturdays ago in Rochester, held him up to public ridicule and et cetera, but certainly did not let him know that he was going to be the subject of the attack. But at what point were you, Mr. Allen, informed that you were not acceptable to run for office, even though you had been elected a year and a half ago as the second vice president on the exec committee by a significant vote? At least in that particular exercise, the Reverend Jerry McAfee insisted that the vote count be made known to everyone. They certainly didn't do as they did with Mr. Nelson. But at what point, Mr. Allen, were you told, what, 2-3 weeks ago? I mean, were you told that you were persona non grata, you were not acceptable, or what?
Well, I kind of figured that, Mr. Edwards, when Professor Pounds walked into the building at North Point and didn't bother to say a word to me, walked by me several times, but didn't say anything. I said, here it goes, all over again. See, the reason, you know, we get marginalized, well, I'll just be personal, the reason I get marginalized is because I've told so much. I've said so much. I mean, we both said so much. Yeah, there's not a museum open. What happened to the money? You know, if Professor Pounds would just sit on the board of directors of the Minnesota African American Museum and then be the president of the NAACP, is the same thing that would happen to the museum going to happen to the NAACP? Oops, the NAACP doesn't have postage or an office or a chair desk. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what happens now? Are they going to move into the Minnesota African American Museum shell of a building over there? Or, I mean,
no, they can't.
Questions.
They no longer own that property. That property is owned
by foreclosure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, on that particular point, do you know that the word is out in the legal community that the professor actually represented the interest of the museum in the lawsuit brought by the construction company? That really raises some serious question. And at the same time, she was an officer of the so-called foundation, which could not account for $3 million. Did you know that?
No,
I
didn't.
I just found out that a number of the top legal minds have kind of been whispering amongst themselves, but they so enjoy seeing the kind of attacks that were initiated against African-American leadership and particularly a lot, you know, against black males, if you will, for apparently black males, you know, for their lives don't matter. Black lives don't matter in that context. Or as I said earlier, if it's a black life that has been properly anointed, quote unquote, by the Holy Grail, or in this case, the Holy Seed. But again, I mean, why was it necessary to play like that there was an opportunity? Because am I incorrect in saying, Mr. Allen, that for a number of weeks, you were basically being told there was a possibility of an alliance, or am I off base there?
No, you're right on base. And with that said, Mr. Edwards, you have another caller. Caller, you're live on the air. Who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Gentlemen, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
Oh, yes. I'll identify myself. This is Mr. M.
Okay.
And I'm a caller. This is a very riveting program. This program is really, I mean, I'm just, I can't wait for the next topic to come up. It's just riveting.
Thank you, Em.
I've just returned from a great celebration. I attended a school, Mankato State, and I was invited to a retirement for Dr. Michael Fagan down at Mankato State.
Yes, I understand Dr. Fagan is stepping away. Mm-hmm.
He's stepping away. He's still going to be on the faculty. So I had a chance to go down there with a couple of the individuals I graduated with from down there. It was a very, very fine program. You know, when I think of coming down there as a 17-year-old and leaving out of there with a master's degree, I mean, that's one of God's blessings for me.
Right.
But what I want to, you know, this information that you've been, you know, giving everyone, boy, I want to know one question, really. I saw something in the paper, I don't know if I saw it online or if I saw a blog or something, about, and you may have covered this earlier, and I'm sorry I wasn't able to listen earlier.
That's all right, sir. Go right ahead.
About Mr. Edwards being escorted out of the NAACP meeting when they were having the election. Okay. Now,
oh,
my
yes.
question
I was escorted out under force of arms.
My question is, and I'm going to give you a chance. I hope you want to clarify that for me because I'm very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
By who escorted you out and under whose authority and under whose behest were you escorted out?
The 911 calls that indicated and were to set the pattern for my possibly physical demise was initiated by officers of the NAACP. And those 911 calls are, of course, now being examined. The NAACP requested and made allegations and false statements to the police that I was being disruptive and acting in a terroristic manner. Okay, that's, you know, that's real dangerous for a black man in America right now.
Well, you know,
then later they solicited the support of the executive director at the facility. See, none of them wanted to have direct conversation. This was on the advice of Mr. Martin, an assistant city attorney and president of the St. Paul NAACP, and an assistant city attorney for the city attorney's office of St. Paul. They were very clever. They had been talking about this for quite some time. They wanted to make sure, because they knew the law and they knew that they had not followed anything approaching the requirements of the law as it pertains to the issue of trespassing or extricating a person from a public meeting. And so what they did, they used Stella West as the proxy. Earlier tonight, I read a interesting policy change that took place on the 23rd day of April, 2015, about 11 days before the situation involving me, in which none of the requirements of law were met. In other words, sir, there is no document that indicates that Ronald A. Edwards has ever been trespassed, either by the NAACP or by Hennepin County, because Stella was acting as an agent for the owner. The owner is Hennepin County. And so what she basically did in the presence of law enforcement officers indicated that I had been suspended. She didn't even have that right. No, I haven't been suspended. I was expelled, baby girl. Okay. But she indicated I had been suspended, in which Mr. Allen has the tape, of the discussion between myself, her, and the police, in which I asked her if she could elaborate and specifically identify what the issues were between myself and the NAACP 15 years ago. Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, it just seems such a very contrived situation, but I want to kind of get back to Mr. Edwards, you said that the NAACP is the entity that had you evicted.
In this case, removed and trespassed. Yes, because they made the call.
But the NAACP in Minneapolis doesn't exist. There's no such entity.
Well, I know, but it does to the extent of the NAACP state conference, if you will, because that's the reason that W.C. Jordan had been specifically positioned to preside over the meeting. He made the first call. Martin made the second, and then, of course, the incoming president made the third. And then Ms. West conferred. I intend to ask the question of the county on what was the circumstances and ask for a copy of the of a written response with why she would indicate that I was to be removed if necessary by force. Of course, I had done nothing. I'd been just a black man standing there for over an hour. No one is, you know, there are many people that were in that meeting, probably 90%, I think Mr. Allen would agree. They didn't even know I was in the room, okay?
Well, it sounds to
me
like
it was Mr. Martin who approached me and told me that I had to leave. I asked him, and that I knew that he was an attorney, under what color of law was he exercising that. I already knew that there was no documentation to support the requirements of the Minnesota statutes, and I knew that they were going to make things up, and I tell you they did. The only problem they had was that, you have to understand, I mean, I received the attention of the commander of the 4th Precinct, okay, because he realized something was going on, and he told his officers to stand down until he had assessed the situation. Now, out of respect to him and to those that were gathered there, people that I've known for years, I chose to depart. See, this is, Mr. Allen knows this. This is the third time that they have pulled this. The last time was December 13, 2013.
Well, this sounds like a civil rights violation to me. It sounds like they're violating your civil rights to come to a meeting and not, you can come in and observe. Sounds like you were
absolutely
an observer there.
Absolutely.
You're an observer there. So to me, that's a civil rights violation.
I intend to take absolute action, if you will. I've already indicated to the Minneapolis Police Department my concern about a violation of their internal policy. I've read it over the air, if you will. Actually, I have to say this, and we have a lot of time on tonight's program. Mr. Allen, at the point that the security guard was ordered to tell me to leave, and I mean I had to clearly tell him I had no intention of leaving, a woman by the name of Natanya Johnson made the statement in a most simplistic way, why didn't Ron just leave, if you will? Well, you know, I'm not a leaver. I'm a fighter, have been for many, many years of my life, you know what I'm saying? Got involved way back in 1959. But I knew that was all a sham, because what they've been trying to do, M, for the last 4 or 5 days is make it appear that I was disruptive and et cetera. There were just too many people in the room to sell that. Okay. In fact, for 35 minutes prior to the arrival of the police, if you will, armed police, I was standing next to the husband of the mayor of our city, who, when he realized the police were getting ready to approach me, and he obviously had some knowledge of what the plan was, he hurried up and moved away from me and took a seat.
Well, you know, I was hopeful that this election, you know, would really try to regroup this organization, someone that had a vision, someone to come in. But see, what you have to be able to do, I would think, is every citizen, you know, no matter what your political affiliation, whatever party, whatever, if everybody's coming to the table, you need to be able to figure it out.
Yes.
And see, and this is the thing, when you come in with your own agenda, you know, this is not what, you know, we need a broad agenda, you know, to sell it to the broader people. I don't
Absolutely.
See how you can close it off. But my next question, you know, would be why? What wasn't Mr. Allen on the ballot? I thought he was on some of the ballots.
Yes, but initially, and Mr. Allen's right here, of course, and can speak for himself. But I was aware that they were going to also make this move to maintain that some way or another, Mr. Allen's membership was in dispute. Mr. Allen had kind of, I think, Don can speak for himself. Don had seen this coming for quite some time. He just said before you called that the state conference president had actually implied that Mr. Allen was holding in his hand a forged NAACP membership.
And you know what? I got three of them. And, you know, this is like every minute, more minute, each minute goes by, we talk about it, I get more, a little bit more pissed. And so, Mr. Everett, while M is on the phone, I'm going to see if W.C. Jordan answers the phone.
We're calling the State Conference President, W.C. Jordan in Rochester, Minnesota, his home.
Oh.
Let's see if he answers the phone.
You have reached the voicemail box of...
Okay.
At
the tone, please record your voice message.
Yeah,
when you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Mr. W.C. Jordan, this is Don Allen from the Ron and Don Show. I'm leaving you a message live on the air, and we're just wondering what the count was from last Saturday's election. And also, if you could email me a copy of the unit rule book that says you cannot have observers in the room from the Constitution, if I can get a copy of that, you know my email address and telephone number. It would be greatly appreciated. I look forward to talking to you real soon. Have a great day. Okay.
Yes, sir. M, that is the State Conference President.
Okay.
And the man assigned that responsibility by the director of branches, the legendary Reverend Gale Ford, the man involved in the theft of over $1 million from the Leave No Child Left Behind program that at one point in the early 2000s was under the auspices of the NAACP, was jettisoned, given to a private group of individuals who then continued to plunder. In fact, we had a very distinguished minister in our beloved community that left here very quickly with a lot of money, the Reverend Albert Gallman. I mean, I didn't open this up, him. I didn't want to do this. I gave them a pass back on December 13th, 2013, when they played this same kind of game, this kind of misrepresentation, et cetera.
Yeah.
But this was a humiliating experience for me as a black man.
Oh, I'm sure. And it was unwarranted.
Yeah, yeah.
Unwarranted on every, you know, as an individual, you know, and I have to say, you know, Mr. Edwards, I've viewed you over the years, and you're someone that, you know, a lot of these things, matter of fact, nearly all of these things you do for the city, for the constituents, you do at no cost. You do this because it needs to be done. You do it because it needs to be done, and nobody else is doing it, and somebody else has to step up. But in closing, I think I'll let you guys take the program over. This is just, like I say, it's just a riveting program. I mean, this expose is just, you know, because I was hopeful, again, that this NAACP meeting, you know, starting to get people in that had education, that were educated, that would come in and really try to, you know, let the powers that be, the forces that be, you know, that the people have a voice, okay? And we have needs.
Sir.
And be able to tell them what those needs are and be able to bring them to the table and say, okay, we've got to address these needs. We've got to do something about it.
Yes, sir.
But the primary thing that I think, you know, I don't know that there's much hope, because I think that we, you know, the community, the politicians, these people are still playing checkers when this is a chess game now. they're still... You know, I mean, that whole idea of saying, you know, one community is better. You know, well, now it's just, you know, we're going to do something for the Asian community. We need to do something for the Somali community. We need to do something. No community is better than another community. No
Absolutely,
person is
sir.
Better than another person. I mean, the argument to say that our religion, our way of life or whatever is better than yours is almost absurd. As the argument is saying Superman can really fly.
From Krypton.
Okay?
You're absolutely
correct,
sir.
It is that absurd. We are all, you know, under one sun. We are all, you know, and so I think you guys continue to bring that out. I'm going to continue to support you as I can. And, you know, Mr. M is in your corner. For what
I got
it's
you,
worth.
Sir. And I know this, and I appreciate it. And I know
right.
Mr. Allen does also.
No,
all right, thank you, sir.
That. All right,
Dan. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Allen, we got about 6 minutes left. And, you know, Mr. Nelson has raised the question because I just realized as we were, you know, talking back and forth, you never were given, and you stayed the whole time, didn't you? In fact, I know you did because I stood out in the parking lot with you as you were attempting to wait. Did they ever give you your tally?
No, they did not. They did not. They did not. So.
Oh, well, how does Natasha Johnson explain that?
Well, they can't. They can't. They can't do anything. I mean, they're not giving me any information, and
I'm asking, you know, I mean, I had a conversation with First Vice President Tanya Johnson and just said, hey, you know, I can't. This is where they attack you. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you're not going to agree with them now, they're going to be divisive, and they'll spend more energy attacking you than they will getting things done for the advancement of colored people. And this time will be a little bit different because I'm documenting everything, period. I'm publishing everything. And I'm just going to show them, I'm saying, this is no different. Yeah, okay, Jerry McAfee, good, bad, and different, whatever, okay? The November elections didn't happen, okay? Now this crew is in queue to make sure November elections happen, like they're supposed to, okay? And so we'll see. We'll see if we get the notices. We'll see if we get the slates. We'll see what happens. This is not a lifelong thing, okay? And the NAACP is building from dirt because they don't have anything here, haven't had anything here for years. So I'm very interested.
Let me ask this question, Mr. Allen. I'm getting text messages, obviously, from a lot of places and a couple from outside the state of Minnesota, et cetera. I was asked to ask you, sir, do you intend, after the bitter defeat, if you will, do you intend to continue to participate with the NAACP?
Oh, I've been a member longer than any of them folks that got elected have been a member. So yeah, I'm going to go to the meeting. I'm going to sit there. I mean, Martin Luther King always talked about the silence. You know, when you walk away from an issue that matters and you don't say anything, this actually matters, Mr. Edwards, despite the rudeness of this particular group. Okay? My presence there, even if I don't say anything, is going to be traumatic for them. Okay? And so for that reason alone, I have to participate. For that, I love my people. I don't love all of them. But in order for me to do what I'm going to say and say what I'm going to do, it's important that I participate. And participating is, you know, saying, hey, okay, if you want me to give you support, can we answer these questions over here on this side? Can we come to some consensus that, you know, that this happened and there's a corrective action, and can we make this public so everybody knows that we can start on a – like I said, Professor Pounds had the opportunity that night at about 7:20 p.m. to right a generational wrong by making one decision, one cognitive reasoning of looking in the audience and saying, hey, we're going to let this go, and we're just going to move ahead. But she decided stardom, fame, and tomfoolery, and the innocence of not knowing and the arrogance of not asking how, to guide her to support this, the state chair and the St. Paul chair, and support the history
and the Duluth chair.
This,
don't forget Gardell Washington
and the Duluth chair of this theft from the NAACP that you actually exposed. Okay?
Yes, I did.
As an attorney, you know that she is. She should be joyful that you have the historical documentation of exactly what went on, where these other two, well, one is the attorney, I guess, and the other one is just the state chair, and I don't know what Claudel Washington is, but what are they hiding? How come they not have come clean? There's always two sides to every story, and there's the right side, and she's getting one of the wrong sides, period.
Yes. And I assume that she is comfortable. I wish her, I wish her the best, if you will. I repeat what I said, though, about the money that they think they're going to go after to deal with the gang problem and the violence. She really needs to be very, very careful. And, you know, I'm aware that she's been taking and stealing ideas from some of the top members of some of the different quote-unquote gang families, if you will. And I was kind of surprised to hear that this goes as far back as 2007, 2008. She knows what I'm talking about. She sat down with some of the heads of some of the most powerful gangs here, talked with them, stole their ideas, and then created some kind of organization in St. Paul that she's talking about moving over here to Minneapolis, the Brotherhood. Man, as I said earlier, I just don't think that that's as wise as it should be, but she really needs to sit down with the chief of police in Minneapolis, but then that's difficult to do because they're all busy trying to stab the chief in the back. So I don't know, man. Yeah. I, you know, you wish him the best. I'm glad to hear you say, Mr. Allen, as my colleague, that you intend to stay the course.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
All right. All right. Let James Brown, my brother, take us on home.
Okay, here we go. Let me find James Brown here. Oh, here you go right here.
Because James Brown was a man of faith, too, wasn't he? Oh, that's right. He was a man. Oops.
Yeah.
It's Kevin.